What do you think the big issues are?
Well, the big issues to me are very complex and multifactorial, from economics, the Bank of Canada policy over the last, 20, 30 years, and some of these issues are caused over a long period of time. But probably, if we want to narrow down to, say, some low-hanging fruits that perhaps a single MP can most impact, I would view, first of all, stop actively harming Canadians. There's a few things that are happening right now that should just downright stop immediately. And it's a bit difficult and comp it's a bit difficult with some of these issues, because we have a portion of the population that is either unaware or is perhaps denying what's going on. It's hard to tell exactly what's going on in people's heads, but the issue of I mean, we look back now, it's obvious that these COVID-19 vaccines were not safe and effective. And so, if we want any solid evidence of that, please go to www.nationalcitizensinquiry.ca. There's a wealth of evidence from expert testimonies and citizens testifying there. You can make your opinion up for yourself. But as far as the issue, offering and recommending COVID-19 vaccines for 6 months old for children is absolutely ludicrous, and it needs to stop right away. So that's a first. The other harm, there's still harm to kids also being done through surgeries and medical interventions that are definitely non-necessary. So before a child is 18, and I'm talking about gender surgery and puberty blockers, there's a reason kids are kids. Their brain's not fully developed. Society and parents are there to protect our kids. And so prior to 18, there should be none of this happening in Canada. Again, at that same website, nationalcitizensinquiry.ca, you'll see a wealth of evidence there supporting this, and how the transition, kids that are thinking that way usually resolves itself over time, and so on. I won't get into the details here, but we need to protect our kids. A society that's healthy is protecting their kids, and this absolutely needs to happen as first and foremost. Another thing that could be done through legislation, and it's again protecting the kids, is glyphosate. It's being sprayed on our food. So here we have a field in back here that just last summer, the guy came by and sprayed. It's called cash crop, so it's just using the field for profit, really. So I asked, we talked to the guy, we're able to talk to him, and he said, so I said, what's growing? He says, oats. So is it for animal consumption or for human consumption? And he said, human consumption. And so he came by at the end of the summer, he sprayed the field with glyphosate. And if, in case anybody doesn't know, glyphosate has the commercial name Roundup, and Roundup kills absolutely everything that's growing, every vegetation, except for the vegetation that was specifically geoengineered to survive Roundup. But it kills everything. There's a wealth of information. There's way, way more than enough information to know that it's toxic to all life. It actually, Bayer Monsanto has paid out more than $11 billion in damages due to glyphosate. So courts don't just decide to pay out things unless there's solid evidence that this is toxic, very toxic. And so it's in our food. It ends up being made, Cheerios are made out of this. And unless you buy something that's certified organic, which again, we're trusting that system's all working for us, but it's in many things, and wheat. So wheat and oats are sprayed 1 week before harvest. 1 week before harvest. So that's what was going on. He sprayed it. A week later, we saw him. He came out and harvested. Why? To kill it, dry it out, makes it easier, makes it quicker, probably cheaper. So that has to stop immediately. Glyphosate is also being sprayed on our public forests. A lot of people are unaware. There's a good organization, you can find them on Facebook, that's called Stop the Spray if you want more information there. But that's happening around us, and people are unaware. And again, the downstream impacts of that and how that affects a natural forest, we just haven't delved into the details and studied that. And so that needs to stop as well. I think those are lower hanging fruits that we can address right away. Maybe not the most important issues, because there's a lot, but definitely some that can be addressed fairly quickly, I hope.
Okay, the oh, sorry, keep going.
Yeah, and that's probably, other than that, we have economic issues which are tied into immigration policy of the last few years. You know, 1.3 million people came into Canada last year if we count all the, and that's in a country of 40 million. And so think of those numbers and what impact that has, and think of that over 10 years, what impact that would have and on society, on the population, and we're seeing some of that around us on the housing. Everything ties in together, right? But that's, I can probably leave that question at that for now.
Okay, you wanted to address the question of why someone should vote for you.
Okay, yeah, so people can vote for me if they want someone. So what happened, I never thought I'd be in this position. Just over 2 weeks ago, it's not something I want to get into, politics, but I have been looking for the last 5 years and trying to, true, I pride myself on someone who's really trying to understand things, in all their shades, and you know, there's a lot of complexities around issues that media sometimes tries to simplify. But I do my best to try to understand these issues, so and the mechanisms of power that are being exercised in our society. And so I'm just a father of three young kids. I have a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 6-year-old. I'm living in Iroquois Falls. I grew up in Iroquois Falls. We moved to Calgary for 11 years, but 2 years ago we made the decision to come back, to reintegrate because of the values, to reintegrate the community, and to get closer to family. And so this is where we want to be. This is where my roots are. And I just want to have a positive impact on this. I see where, I think a lot of Canadians are of the same opinion. We're seeing where Canada is being taken right now, and we need a different direction. And I look at the two big ones in Canada. It's a bit like the US, where it seems the liberals and the conservatives are offering practically the same thing. They stand the same way on foreign wars, where they're happy to send our money overseas to fight wars that really we have very little interest in, while Canadians here are suffering and getting poorer and poorer. They're happy with taxing Canadians. So we saw the carbon tax, and we saw how quickly they were able to remove that. And all of a sudden we're seeing a change at the pump. Well, they could have done that the whole way through, but they choose to do it just now when they need what from Canadians? A vote. And the other thing that happened there is the tariff. So I like to look at situations with, and where the PPC stands on tariffs. Again, I align with. I'm not someone who's gonna go raw team. But so far, Maxime Bernier is the one. The policies are the ones that align most with what I feel makes sense and for Canada. For the tariffs, if you look at just the actions and you take away all the rhetoric and everything that's said around it, the end result is a 25% tax added to Americans and a 25% tax added to Canadians. And that tax added to Canadians that they have on the products that are imported from the US, that's imposed by our Canadian government. That's not imposed by Trump. That's our Canadian government saying, yeah, we'll fight this by taxing you guys another 25%. And so I think that's just wrong. I think we should, while people are struggling right now, that's going to increase new builds of houses. It's going to have such a downstream impact. We don't need a new tax right now. We need to give Canadians a break and reduce the red tape and reduce the taxes where they don't make sense. And so, yeah, if you want someone that's just going to do their darndest to fight for Northern Ontarians and Canadians in general, that's what I'm ready to do. I don't know quite all the levers and actions that a single MP can perform in Ottawa, but I'm going to find that out and do my darndest to make change. I'm just a regular guy that's trying to look out for the future generations, and I think that's one of the central ideas here, is we need to make change. And by the way, a philosophy of mine in all change, I think, is the decentralization of power. We need to centralize information. We need to communicate and have access to information, free information, have our individual rights looked after. But these institutions, in order to take control of these institutions back, we need to decentralize power in almost all cases. This is part of why we're in this mess, I believe.